Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Another cold day in New Orleans, January 8th, anniversary of the Battle of New Orleans. Highs today only of 47. Currently, it's 34 degrees. I'll add 58 degrees in the studio. Don't know why, but I'm wearing my heavy coat, and I'm glad I am. Ronald Surpass joins us now, former NOPD superintendent, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police, currently professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, and our friend. Talk about the Bourbon Street attack. Good morning, Chief. How are you?
Tommy, I'm great, but if you're in your office wearing a heavy coat, you must not have anything else on.
No, I am. It's 58 degrees in here. And, you know, I like it cold, but not this cold. This is crazy. I need gloves, too. It's so cold in here. But anyway, let's talk about...
I think somebody should notify HR.
I'm happy where I am, Chief. Let's not start any trouble, please. Everybody's happy with
everything.
Let's just leave it alone, please. Let's talk about... I appreciate you. I really do. Let's talk about, you know, we spoke to you last Thursday after this first happened.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts about what's been revealed since then and just what's been going through your mind since then.
I think one of the most interesting and a terrible tragedy, what's going to be one of the more interesting documents is the report that was published in 2019. You know, it's kind of like the old Nixon thing. Who knew what when? Mm-hmm. What did they do about it when? Where has it gone from there? The second thing, and we talked about this a little bit last week, there are so many uniquenesses to being one of the oldest walking cities in the country that has a daily walking promenade on Royal Street, no traffic, and it has a daily walking promenade on Bourbon Street at night, no traffic. And it's been like that for the 45 years that I'm aware of, as well as I'm sure much longer than that. So how do you balance all these issues? Recognizing the tremendous loss of life is so sad, and the injuries are so sad.
Colin Arnold and I had a long discussion yesterday, and it was apolitical. It was just about bollards and the different types of barriers. Mm-hmm. I quoted you when you talked about, and he remembered the bollards that you said you as an officer would carry and put into place. As I understand it, those come in three classes. One of them weigh 44 pounds. The others are 88. And then beyond that, it would be really, you know, you'd have to have a couple of a big old giant Olympic strongest men in America, whatever the hell it is, to carry him and move him. It would have to be done by machine. We also talked about wedge barriers and arch barriers. The arch barriers are the 400-pound yellow things that can be wheeled about that stop a vehicle and then etch into the concrete, as I understand it, or the asphalt to prevent and underneath the vehicle to prevent it from moving forward. The wedge barriers go up and down with a hydraulic ram and battery operated like a ferry boat, so they can go up and down mm-hmm. in a couple of seconds and are operated by officers by battery. When it comes to, as a former superintendent, your thoughts, and again, going back to the walkability of the quarter, the Criminal Justice Committee is going to meet today. You know, they're going to look back and understand that, and that's important about who missed what. But what would your recommendations be? You walked that quarter as a street officer. You paroled it on, patrolled it on horseback. You were the superintendent of the department. What would you suggest? What would be your recommendations?
I think the experience that we had is the one that's the most meaningful to me, and that was the there were four bollards for each section of Bourbon Street on either side. They were housed on the street side during the day. The officers would come pick them up. They must have been the 44 ones. They would be enough to significantly slow down or give people time to get out the way if they heard that impact. And those are easy to move. They're easy to pick up. They go down every day. They're fairly stable. The cross streets are always an issue because we would always have pedestrian traffic allowed to go up to Bourbon, wait for a clearance in pedestrian traffic, and go across Bourbon. You think about the taxis and Ubers that got to get back and forth. And then there's always the next level when it's just too crowded. You stop all cross street traffic. When you make the decision to stop the cross street traffic between Dauphine and Royal, I think you're going to need the wedges make a lot of sense. You know, they can be elevated. They can drop for emergency services. And the overarching issue on all of this is the ability of emergency services to get in there, particularly fire and EMS. French Quarter's old. Those buildings are jammed right up on top of each other. The fire department has always had incredibly important advice that we got to get in there quick to try to limit any damage from fire. All these things have to happen at the same time. The French Quarter is a vibrant business entertainment district. So, summary. I liked always the Bourbon bollards that you could just pick up and put down as you needed that were heavy-duty steel bollards that would help. The cross street bollards are important, and those bollards would start at Iberville and Canal. So the first 100 block of Iberville is a bit wider, and the way it feels and looks. Once you get to the 100 block of Canal, once you get to the 200 block of Bourbon, think about it. You have a daiquiri shop on one corner, you have another business on the other corner, and you begin to see balcony poles on almost every 20 feet throughout Bourbon Street all the way to the end. Very narrow sidewalks.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We'll come back talking to Ronald Surpass. I want to get your take on Ann Kirkpatrick as the superintendent. It was not a good media moment for her about I got the arches confused now. This arch barriers, I think, saying she didn't know they were available. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. 8:21 traffic now, WWL. 8:26, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Again, I'd suggest you go to WWL.com if you want to know more about wedge barriers, arch barriers, and bollards and different types, because Colin Arnold and then Nathan Rizzuti did a good job of breaking it all down for you and explaining what each are. Ann Kirkpatrick, superintendent, not a great media moment for her chief when she said she didn't know that the arch barriers were available and weren't deployed. Talk about that, if you will, as a former superintendent. I don't know if they were there when you were there or not, but the difficulty in deploying them and also your confidence in Ann Kirkpatrick moving forward.
Well, there can only be one superintendent at a time. Secondly, the barriers that we're talking about now, the arch and wedge barriers, as I recall, were not present in 2014. They became part of an issue after the 27 accidents in Nice, France, which the Landrieu administration, I thought, was wise to do. I think that the ability to have a press conference and to be prepared and planned for it doesn't happen when you're walking on a street corner. So there's always the potential that something just didn't come out the way you intended it to. And likewise, you know, we're going to watch the city council go through these hearings in the next few days. And I want to remind the listening audience, Tommy, a police chief can't buy a piece of equipment for the police department unless it goes to the mayor and the mayor gets it approved by the council. For the council to look at this is appropriate, but they certainly can't act like they didn't know anything about it. So in this case, I think the superintendent is going to need some time to be able to answer all the questions as effectively and efficiently as possible, and to make sure that if there are any errors in statements, you just be honest about it. The public appreciates when leaders and political leaders are willing to say, you know what, I just got that wrong. Let me correct it. Let me get the record right. Let me go back and fix it. I'm not suggesting she's done any of that yet. What I'm suggesting is that's a necessary requirement, I think, to be an effective political or public leader, which oftentimes we see people are very unlikely to admit they made a mistake, which causes more confusion by the public.
One question I had was, again, walking around Washington, D.C. over the weekend with the security and as tight as it was and having to walk around barricades, this and that, knowing how much people griped when the streets were being repaired in the French Quarter and having to walk around this and walk around that. Should people at this point maybe watch what they ask for because they may just get it? Because let me just say this and I'll turn it over to you. There's no way to make anything secure from everything, right? But then again, increased security does come at a price. Your thoughts on all of that?
I think the public understands that you can't secure everything totally unless it's inside of a bank vault. But I think they want to know that people were making the best reasonable and rational decisions that they could. And it's not often that I would say Mayor Cantrell, I think, demonstrated a very good leadership point. But at the events on Monday on the opening up of the 12th night, she said, we have to be strong. We have to move forward. If we're going to be a city that has Mardi Gras, it's got to be safe. But we got to have a city that's going to do Mardi Gras. So there's your balance, right? That's the balance. Do you want to be locked inside of a vault? Or do you want to continue to live a social life and be as safe as you can and have confidence that the government has done everything that they possibly could rationally, everything they possibly could experientially? Because you're right, we all make a decision every day when we go outside to expose ourselves. And in D.C., of course, you had the state funeral for President Carter, which I'm sure produced a tremendous different look of the security package around the Capitol, including the January 6th certification of the election.
So along those lines, can you compare, and we got to go here, I know, Jordan, but can you really compare, and you've been around, can you compare New Orleans to New York City in terms of resources or population or other giant cities like that, really?
I think what has to be fairly done is to compare cities with like walking promenades every day, all day. I've been to New York a lot of times, and I haven't been all over New York, but when you go to New York Times Square, you don't walk in the street, do you?
No.
You walk on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So I think comparing New Orleans to other cities that have these walking promenades is where I would be looking. If you block off the cross streets at New York's Times Square on New Year's Eve, that makes a lot of sense because you're allowing people into the street. But I've been to New York a bunch of times, and you don't get to walk in New York Times Square on the street unless you're on a crosswalk. So compare New Orleans to other cities that have the same walking promenades for centuries and get a better sense there of what you're looking at.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate your insight as always. Ronald Surpass, former superintendent of the NOPD. We'll talk to Arthur Hardy, editor of the Mardi Gras Guide, about what Mardi Gras is likely to look like post this Bourbon Street attack. 8:31, minute late. Time now, WWL First News.